This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. The Benghazi report is issued. The Obama administration and Secretary Clinton making false statements to the American people.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The report does identify for the first time what it calls a key White House meeting featuring Mrs. Clinton that it says took place only hours into the attack while our Ambassador Chris Stevens was still missing. The bulk of that meeting, it says, focused not just on a response on the ground, but also on that video blamed by the White House for inspiring the attack. It is a storyline, of course, that was dismissed from the very beginning by those who saw the horror firsthand.
This was not a pre-planned, premeditated attack. That what happened initially was that it was a spontaneous reaction to what had just transpired in Cairo as a consequence of the video.
Would a highly decorated career diplomat have told you or Washington had there been a demonstration outside his facility that day?
Yes, sir, he would have.
Did he mention one word about a protest or a demonstration?
No, sir, he did not.
You'll see the details in the report. It's a tale of the absence of vigor and energy that if it was my son or your husband or your child, you would say that's an inadequate response from the senior leadership in the United States government.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Because at the time those two Americans were killed, not a single wheel of a single U.S. military asset had even turned toward Libya.
Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, the Benghazi Commission report has been issued. Let me be very clear and very direct here and unapologetic. The Obama administration and Hillary Clinton lied. They lied to the American people. They gave a false narrative, and the commander-in-chief did not act like either a commander or someone that was in charge. The fact of the matter is, 7 hours after Leon Panetta gave an order to move assets to protect our compound that was under attack, which, by the way, this report establishes clearly was known to be a target of attack, no assets were moved. Period. Individual assets that were moved were done on their own reconnaissance. You're going to find out when we are joined by Colonel Wes Smith, who, by the way, was with the president and with Secretary Clinton at Dover Air Force Base when Ambassador Stevens' body was accepted by the United States because he was the chaplain in charge. You'll find out he spoke to the families. It's firsthand information. But this report that came out is devastating to the Obama administration and I think, frankly, devastating to Hillary Clinton. There was a staff meeting, 2.5 hours long. Participants on the video conference were unsure about which agency was going to rescue the Americans. That's one issue that's significant. They had the uniformed personnel change their uniform on site. Now, this was folks at the military Marines that were to be deployed as a rapid response rescue team to Benghazi, changed their uniforms 3 times so they would not offend, quote, the Libyan people or the Libyan government. That took place. When the final two Americans were killed nearly 8 hours after the attack began, you know how many American military assets were deployed with wheels up, even heading in that direction? Zero. None. The narrative about the video. False. In fact, Hillary Clinton emails Chelsea Clinton and says there's been an attack, two of our personnel have been killed in Benghazi. It was an Al-Qaeda-like group. Susan Rice receives an email from Ben Rhodes. You know about Ben Rhodes, subject to our lawsuit against the State Department. We'll talk about that later in the broadcast. In that email, let's get the narrative straight, they say. This was not about position failure on the U.S. government's part. This was about a video. This was a false narrative. You were lied to. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, and we're up on all of our platforms, Logan.
That's right. We're available right now on Facebook, Periscope, ACLJ.org, or wherever you get your media. You can pretty much find our live broadcast each and every day right there. Again, right now we're broadcasting. Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110.
We are digesting this. We will have reports up on this afternoon. False narrative, accusations, Hillary Clinton's response. She's going to say political witch hunt. You look at the evidence that we present today and you tell us. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. And also, folks, we are filing today a lawsuit against the State Department on the falsifications on the Iran deal. That lawsuit being filed by the ACLJ today. We'll be back with more, including your calls, in just a moment.
When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
The report is devastating that has come out of the Benghazi Commission, and a special supplement to that by Congressman Jim Jordan and Mike Pompeo. They will also be joining us later in the program. Right now, in the studio with us in our media center, is Colonel Wes Smith, retired United States Army, was also the chaplain in charge when Ambassador Stevens, you saw him. I wonder if we can find that picture. There's a picture of Ambassador Stevens' coffin coming in with the American flag, with the president, the secretary of state, and Colonel Smith. Let's see if we can find that. That we'll be able to use during this portion of the broadcast. There's a troubling development. You're a military man, and that was Leon Panetta ordered assets deployed to Benghazi immediately.
Right.
8 hours later, no assets deployed.
Yeah, no assets at all, which you have to wonder who countermanded, you know, the Secretary of Defense's orders.
Who could countermand them? President?
Only one person, the president,
commander-in-chief. Okay.
And so you have to wonder what was the conversation going on during this time between the White House and the Department of State, because you had the Secretary of Defense ordering all available resources to stand by, and nothing happens.
Now, two individuals did a number of self-deployments. Because this is something people don't know. Individuals that deployed on their own. The U.S. military was worried about what uniforms others should be wearing, what kind of vehicles, so nobody comes to help our men and women, the men that were killed here. But there is another side of the story.
Yeah. Glenn Daugherty and Tyrone Wood were part of a group of security officers who were stationed at the embassy in Tripoli.
Yep.
And they literally self-deployed that night to Benghazi.
Explain what self-deploy means, Wes, because the order came out, but they were not given authorization to do it.
Obviously,
they did this on their own.
They did this on their own. They gathered up. They made it really clear to the security officers in Tripoli, no one has to go, but some of us are going. And so I'm not sure of the number of people, but a fairly sizable group, 10 or 12 people, perhaps. And they went to the Libyan Air Force, found a Libyan Air Force pilot with a transport plane, and literally talked him into flying them to Benghazi. When they landed in Benghazi, they talked to the local officials at Benghazi Airport and asked for an armed escort to the area where the consulate and the annex was, and the Libyans gave them that armed escort. And that's how Tyrone Wood and Glenn Daugherty ended up getting killed, because they volunteered to take part in the defense of the annex.
This is something you're not hearing anyplace else and you haven't heard before. Here's the follow-up to this. And we got Dan Bennett as well. Yeah, I'll pitch this to Than in a moment, but I want to go back to Wes on this. Here's what has me concerned looking at this report. Now, obviously, it's hundreds of pages, so we got a whole team analyzing it. You did too. But the failure to put boots on the ground, so to speak, the failure to deploy assets, it seems like the government, the president and the secretary of state, Hillary Clinton, were more concerned about perception. I'm not even talking about the video yet. I'm just talking about perception of what uniforms they're wearing, what kind of cars they're going in, than actually protecting our men that were under attack. yeah. by terrorists.
Yeah, exactly. There were way too many other things under consideration. And later on, the military would say, you know, that they could not send a quick reaction force, a QRF, because they would not have gotten there in time. They had no idea how long this attack would last, nor did they know the whereabouts at that time of Ambassador Stevens. So how do you not send people because, well, they can't get there in time anyway? Yeah. That attack could have lasted for days.
Yeah. This is, folks, this is what's unreal. Let me show a picture to our audience. This is a picture with the President of the United States, Secretary Clinton. This is the hearse that took in Ambassador Stevens' remains. And that is our Colonel Wes Smith right there at the podium. Like I said, this is not something you're going to see anywhere else, and that picture is being anywhere else, but you're not going to have the person that was doing it in our studio. Of course, Wes is a senior military analyst for the ACLJ. Dan, let me go to you quickly in Washington. The reaction on this is pretty stunning. We're going to be joined by Congressman Jordan and Congressman Pompeo in the letter in the broadcast, but this is a pretty stunning development.
Oh, absolutely, and I think there are two main takeaways, and Wes just touched on the first one. It is now conclusive that the White House and the State Department decided not to deploy assets when maybe these two American heroes, Tyrone Woods and Glenn Doherty, could have been saved. That is now conclusive proof. The second thing is, Jay, it was widespread throughout the administration, including all levels at the State Department, that when Susan Rice went on the five networks and blamed this on a YouTube— Everyone False. Knew that was made up and that was not true. That was not just a misnomer.
Right.
They said that she was off the reservation, but that it was too late to pull it back. And so they all went along with it. They all perpetuated that lie.
Look, I'm going to get into that. But I'm focusing right now on the fact that we did not deploy. And I think it's important that I appreciate you bringing that up, Dan. But I want to get into the fact that we did not deploy assets.
Well, and not only do we not deploy assets, other than the guys who self-deployed, by 1 a.m., the Department of Defense had an unarmed drone flying over the area. And by a few minutes later, there were two unarmed drones. If you can deploy unarmed drones that quickly, why not an armed drone or why not an attack aircraft?
Here's the question. If I had you on the stand right now, here's what I'd ask you. Why did the commander-in-chief or someone in that office, we're not even talking about the video, countercommand the demand, the order of the Secretary of Defense to deploy? Why would that have happened? Political?
It would have to be political.
And the consequence of that political is dead Americans.
Well, we were a few weeks away from
57 days.
Yeah, an election.
Yeah. This is, folks, this is unreal. Logan, let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yeah, I want to bring up, and we'll talk about it a little bit. There's definitely a lot of kind of conversation happening that kind of you would traditionally link with kind of conspiracy theory, but in some ways it's starting to become like the conspiracy theory feels very authentic.
What Than mentioned, the Ben Rhodes emails, we haven't gotten to those yet. You would think that's a James Bond movie.
Right.
But it's not. That's the unfortunate thing. The entire video narrative is a falsehood. It should be impeachable for what they've done. I mean, that's what would have happened if it was somebody else. Impeachable for allowing that to go. Susan Rice to go on the talk shows and saying that. The president knew it, so did Secretary Clinton. They lied to the American people. And no excuse there. Go ahead.
And they lied to the families, Jay, because I was there with the families.
Talk
and Secretary
that.
Clinton said, we're going to get to the bottom of this and find out who made this video. And she
describe where you were and how that took place. You're in there with the families.
Right. They have holding areas for the families. Yep. And I'm sort of standing back away from everything, you know, because you don't get involved when VIPs are talking to families of the fallen. But she talked to them about this video herself. Now she denies that. But in fact, she did. And my memory could be faulty, but as I recall, I heard Vice President Biden refer to the YouTube video.
Yeah, no, I've heard that from other people as well. The YouTube video, completely false narrative. Military troops not deployed. Military assistance not deployed. Unacceptable. Let's take a phone call.
All right, let's go to line four. Let's go to Gerald, who's calling from San Pedro, California. You're on the air.
Hi, Gerald.
Hey, Jay. You know, it's really shocking. You know what? To me, America, red flag. I really don't think they should vote for Hillary Clinton. And this has nothing to do with, political race or anything. My thing is, you got to look at what Hillary Clinton is doing.
Look, I think the report, I think you got to look at this report. This is the evidence, folks. I mean, you know, some people are saying, well, some of this was out. Some of it was. What Wes Smith told you wasn't, that these guys took their own aircraft, commandeered an airplane basically to get there, and they get killed because the United States doesn't deploy what there's counteracts, counter commands. The Secretary of Defense, one person can do that, the Commander in Chief, who is neither a commander or in charge during this moment. And by the way, when we get to the videos, you know what you're going to find out? Chelsea Clinton got an email from her mother hours before the narrative was out publicly, but hours after the narrative was out publicly, saying this was an Al Qaeda inspired like attack. So this is a complete false statement. And it is like, if you were making this up, except Americans are dead over this, you would think this was a James Bond movie. Let me ask the next question here, Wes. You look at the situation. You have the non-deployment. You have the false narrative. You've served in the military a long time. You don't like to leave your men behind.
Negative.
Yeah. So what's going on here? What is this? It is looking like raw politics, a false narrative, and the American people being lied to.
I think you're exactly right. I served in the military. My brothers and sisters served with me. I do not know of one single person in uniform that would not have responded and risked their life to be there had they been allowed to do so. General Hamm was AFRICOM commander. You know,
yep.
His testimony was pretty inconclusive. I'm not sure where he was on that.
Yep.
But, you know, a number of us have talked about it that, you know, the military said later on, and the State Department as well, well, we didn't know who the attackers were. The consulate is in a residential neighborhood.
Right.
It's upscale. What if we killed innocent people? And our response was, well, send in an F-18 or some other low-flying aircraft.
Right.
The terrorist attacking will not know whether or not they're going to use their weapons. I've seen
a flyby.
A flyby that is low and loud.
Right.
It will rattle your cage.
I live near Oceana Naval Air Station,
and
so we know.
They can be very menacing even when they're not using their weapons.
But we did nothing.
We did nothing other than unarmed drones.
Unarmed drones. I mean, this is beyond absurd. We've got an opposing call, but listen, folks on the line, stay on the line here. We've got Congressman Jordan coming up in just a moment, so we're going to have to get to that. So just be patient. We're going to get to the calls.
Do you want to take the call?
Do we have time, Logan?
We only got a minute and a
half.
Yeah,
I'll take it. Take okay. Mike's.
All right, Mike's calling from Oceanport, New Jersey.
All right, Mike, go ahead.
Hey, Jay, thanks for the show.
Sure.
When 9/11 happened, okay,
yeah.
The President Bush was on there saying, well, they don't like us because of our freedom or whatever.
Right.
You know what? I don't care what inspired the attack, okay? Evidently, these people are crazy. Benghazi was probably the only place that had a pro-American demonstration after the event because these imbeciles
who killed Americans.
Because we had just saved about 500,000 Benghazi lives.
Well, that's my point. But the point is, if they were so pro-American, why did they let these, you know, Al-Qaeda-like, as Hillary Clinton called them, terrorists do what they did to our... They dragged our ambassador, killed him on the streets of Benghazi. We don't take... this. We're the United States of America. We don't put up with this. Period. We're going to be back with more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment. 800-684-3110. Be patient with us on the calls, folks. We've got a lot of information to cover.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Benghazi report is out and it's devastating. 81 witnesses interviewed, 75,000 pages of documents. Here's the conclusion, 800-page report. The report also said the CIA missed the looming threat despite warnings and wrote faulty intelligence reports after the attack. This was a two-year investigation, as you know. The report includes new details about a U.S. teleconference convened by the White House chief of staff during the attack. According to the report, participants on the video conference were unsure about what agency was doing, what any agency was doing to rescue Americans. Leon Panetta gave an order to deploy special forces to the area immediately. That order was never carried out. The military changing uniforms three times because the president and Secretary Clinton were too concerned about what uniforms they would be wearing and how they would that might offend the people of Libya. The whole statement about the video calls is a known falsehood. We have the email to Hillary Clinton, to Chelsea Clinton, that says this was an al-Qaeda attack. So we know the video is made up. But what I'm concentrating right now is the failure of our military to respond. Colonel Wes Smith is with us. I need to reset this again. There's a picture we're putting up for folks on Facebook and Periscope. This is a picture of our Colonel Wes Smith with Secretary Clinton and President Obama during the receiving ceremony for Ambassador Stevens' body. Now, this narrative and this situation, what was it like in that room with the president and secretary of state? And you were with the families as well.
Exactly.
What was it like?
The grief was palpable. And part of what's missing in all of the testimony that Secretary Clinton did before Congress was the palpable grief and the patriotism of these families. We met with them, talked with them individually. I talked with them. And then during the seating arrangements, they had the vice president, the president, Secretary Clinton, and myself each sit with one of the four families. And I spoke with all the families, and yep. It was very touching. But I sat with the Smith family during the ceremony. And Patricia Smith, Sean's mother, sat next to me. And it, like I said, it was so touching. And the human face of this and the deep grief of these families and how their lives are forever changed is a part of what's missing when yep. Secretary Clinton talks about this.
You know, because I am focusing on the military lack of response, which I don't blame the military for. I blame the commander-in-chief for it. I don't blame Secretary Panetta either. He gave the order. Congressman Mike Pompeo, who's going to be with us at the end of the broadcast today, said this just moments ago.
You'll see the details in the report. It's a tale of the absence of vigor and energy that if it was my son or your husband or your child, you would say that's an inadequate response from the senior leadership in the United States government.
All right, I want to go to Than Bennett because there is going to be, as there always are in these situations, serious political repercussions on this.
Well, and there should be, Jay. I mean, when Chairman Gowdy took the podium this morning, he actually made a statement that this report was about four people, the victims, not about one person, which was Secretary Clinton. In fact, Secretary Clinton's name does not appear in the whole entire report, according to him. I actually haven't read all of it yet. I'm working my way through it. But here's the reality. Secretary Clinton was in charge of the response that you've been hearing Wes detail. So her biggest case in November to the American voters is that her time as Secretary of State has equipped her to be the Commander-in-Chief and to be the lead foreign diplomat for the United States as the President of the United States. This undermines that case, Jay. So Chairman Gowdy is right to say that this is not political in nature, but there are very real political ramifications. And the two congressmen that we're going to hear from later, Congressman Jordan and Congressman Pompeo, they were on this special committee, yep. and they think the ramifications are so significant that they put out an additional 50-page
report
detailing why she should be held responsible.
Let's go ahead and take some calls here. We're going to try to get through as many as we can. We'll keep people on, but we'll be able to get to as many calls as we can.
Let's go to Barbara, who's calling from Pueblo, Colorado. Excuse me, you're on the air.
Hey, Barbara.
Hey, Jay. Thanks for all you guys do. I guess my question is, you know, this has been going on for quite some time. We all know that she's guilty, but yet she's disgracing the country by being allowed to run for president, which is a disgrace to all of us.
Yeah, but this is, you know what, the Democratic Party, like the Republican Party, can pick out whoever they want, and then they did. So they selected Hillary Clinton. Go ahead with your comment. I mean, the DNC did it.
What are we going to do about it as a country? Because these people, not only the people that died, but the families.
Well, that's what Wes is talking about.
Soldiers that have got to go through this for the rest of their lives, knowing they couldn't do anything. We're all angry.
Let me recast something because two of the people that are dead did something on their own. And if you weren't here for the first half of the program, I want you to say it again, Wes. Two of their loved ones died.
Right.
Even though orders were given to deploy, get special forces there, get special units there, which didn't happen. Somebody countermanded that. And by the way, we need to find out who that is, and I suspect it is the only person that could that would counteract the commander-in-chief. That's called the President of the United States, okay? But two families, these men on their own initiative. Let's describe that again. Yeah. I think it's very important.
Yeah, Glenn Daugherty and Tyrone Wood were part of a group of security officers, CIA, working for the State Department in Tripoli, who went to Benghazi on their own, arranged for a flight to go there in order to defend, you know, their brothers and sisters. And both of them ended up getting killed coming to the rescue and defending, you know, their own colleagues there, as well as defending our nation when the military absolutely was absent, was not there. But they were.
You know, Than, it's just, it's beyond shocking. Well, before I go, Than, Logan, any comments coming in, or do you want to grab another call?
There's so many calls. I mean, there's lots of comments coming in. I mean, this is just a question. How does anyone defend this? It's just came in.
I think it's indefensible. Yeah, how are they going to defend this in Washington, Van? Because this is pretty indefensible, and we're just going through the report now.
Yeah, and they were talking a lot about the political side of this, how they defend Hillary on this, when polls seem to just keep rising.
Yeah, well, I think this is just the beginning, if you want my honest opinion. Go ahead, Van.
They're going to try not to talk about it, Jay. Yep. I mean, the narrative that Wes just laid out is the one that we're going to have to talk about. Glenn Daugherty and Tyrone Woods, they were cornered on the rooftop of a compound, and they were under fire. They were under fire, Jay, for 7 hours. And you know what they were expecting? They were expecting what any one of us would be expecting, the most powerful military in the world to do what Wes said. Just send an F-18. Send an F-18 to the rescue and make sure that they could get out alive. We never sent them. And what this report details today is that those reinforcements were probably not sent, Jay, because of political factors. They were more concerned about the politics and the messaging than rescuing those two American heroes.
All right, let's try to get another call in here before the end of the first 30 minutes.
All right, let's go to Roger in Altoona, Idaho. You're on the air. You're on the air.
Go ahead, Roger.
Well, I just want to say thank you to the colonel from this retired staff sergeant, but I do have a question. What gets me is that Hillary said she's never sent no emails or any confidential email stuff. Wouldn't an email sent to her daughter?
Let me tell you about that email. First of all, thank you, Roger, for your service. But let me tell you about the email. So hours after the attack, Hillary Clinton sends an email to Chelsea that says, "We have had an attack and lost the lives of two in Benghazi, an al-Qaeda-like group." No mention of this fake video. We haven't even gotten to the video discussion yet, that whole false narrative. And by the way, Susan Rice and Ben Rhodes and the president and the Secretary of State should be ashamed of themselves for what they have said, the lie that they committed, and the false narrative that they put forward to the American people. And I'm holding in my hand a lawsuit that we have filed at the ACLJ, American Center for Law and Justice, against the United States Department of State. Because on this broadcast, we don't just talk about it, we do it. And this is over the false statements on Iran. And Than, very quickly here, this is a pattern. We only got 50 seconds.
Listen, the cover-up is so often worse than the crime. I don't think we can say that here because four Americans died. Yep. But the reason we know about it is because the cover-up was so extensive. Jay, we've got to get to the bottom of it.
Yep. All right, Logan, we got 30 minutes left. Let people know what they can do because you're not going to want to miss it.
That's right. You're not going to miss the second half hour of the show. If you're not listening on SiriusXM or the networks that carry the full hour of Jay Sekulow Live, you can get it many different ways. Audio only on ACLJ.org or the ACLJ app. But you can also get live streaming video on ACLJ.org as well as on Facebook where you can interact as well as Periscope, Facebook.com/JaySekulow, Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow. If you have to turn it off, you can get the rest of the show later on today through the Jay Sekulow Live podcast or the ACLJ app on Roku or Apple TV.
All right, we're going to be back for the next 30 minutes. Stay tuned, folks. A lot to talk about.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. If you are just joining us, 81 witnesses interviewed, 75,000 pages of documents. The final Benghazi report, devastating to the Obama administration, devastating to Hillary Clinton. The report includes new details about a U.S. teleconference convened by the White House chief of staff during the attack. According to the report, participants in the video conference were unsure about which agencies were going to determine to rescue the Americans. In fact, Leon Panetta, the Secretary of Defense, ordered a rescue team. That rescue team was not allowed to deploy. You know what they were fighting over? What uniform to wear or not wear? What kind of cars to take in from the airport? But as Wes Smith said, who, by the way, I'm going to put a picture up for Facebook and Periscope right now. This is Colonel Wes Smith at Andrews Air Force Base with the President, with the Secretary of State, and with the remains of Ambassador Stevens and the families. He was the chaplain in charge. He's our senior military analyst. And here's the question that I've asked it twice. I'm going to ask it a third time. Wes, you've served honorably in the military for decades. The fact of the matter is, the military does not like leaving their own behind. And in this particular case, it looks like possibly the commander-in-chief, I can't think of anybody else who could overrule the Secretary of Defense, did not allow deployment.
Exactly. And I don't know of a man or a woman wearing the uniform who would not have been there and risk their life had they been given permission to simply show up and come to the rescue. It's a travesty.
Yep. Congressman Roskam made a very important statement very similar to this. Take a listen just moments ago.
The people that go and they accept these assignments voluntarily, they know that there is an inherent risk. But the understanding is that their nation will move heaven and earth to save them. And that didn't happen. And four people were murdered. That's the scandal of Benghazi.
And I am focusing on that today. We'll get into more details on the report tomorrow about the videos and all this, but I'm focusing on the individuals and the military's inability, not because they didn't want to, but because they, in fact, had this statement from Ben Rhodes. This is in the report, an email on 9/14 under goals. This is telling Susan Rice as she's getting ready to go in the media to underscore that to underscore that these protests are rooted in the internet video and not a broader failure of policy. That was the talking points by Ben Rhodes, who, by the way, is targeted in our lawsuit against the State Department. But that in and of itself, just go changing the narrative, which is this administration's policy, unacceptable if you're a member, a man or woman serving in the United States Army,
absolutely.
Air Force, Marines, or
a travesty. And it's all, you know, they were sticking with their narrative. And they had a narrative and a re-election coming up, and they were more concerned about that than they were the men and women in uniform or the people there. And interestingly enough, other than Ambassador Stevens, the three men who died were all former military, which is part of what led them to have these core values that you don't leave people behind, you go in and save them. And they did what they were trained to do.
Ambassador Susan Rice lying to the American people, number 19.
This was not a pre-planned, premeditated attack. That what happened initially was that it was a spontaneous reaction to what had just transpired in Cairo as a consequence of the video.
Completely false. Completely false. A witness that would say that on a stand in a courtroom would be in jail for perjury. Completely false. Shame on you, Susan Rice. Ben Rhodes, President Obama, and Secretary Clinton. I'm going to take more of your comments when we come back. Now, folks, there's a lot of folks holding here. We may have to stay after another segment here, maybe at the conclusion of the broadcast. I don't know how maybe we can get some, because we've got Congressman Jim Jordan coming up and then Congressman Mike Pompeo. So we've got a lot to cover. We're going to try to get to your calls if we can. If not, folks, we'll be getting more details tomorrow. I'm focusing on the four dead Americans. Hillary Clinton said, what difference does it make? Evidently a lot when you're running for president of the United States. Unacceptable in the land of the free and the home of the brave. I'm going to be back with more of your comments. Take a look at our Facebook. Logan, we're going to have a lot of material posted on social media on this as well as ACLJ.org.
That's right. You can join us on ACLJ.org as well as on our app and our Facebook and social media accounts. Make sure to follow us and be attached to what we're doing here. It's breaking news. No one's covering it like we are. So again, ACLJ.org.
When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Yes, everyone. We're going to go ahead and take a phone call. We're waiting for the congressman to call, and we've got something, some kind of a breaking news development here, but let's go ahead.
Let's go to Peter in Salem on line six.
Hi, Peter. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Jay.
Yes, sir.
Look, I just want to wish you good luck and God bless with your lawsuit.
Thank you.
I don't think that this administration could do worse if they were our enemy in the White House.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thankful to Trey Gowdy and people who stand up for the truth. In a world that we live in, we have about probably less than 10% of the people who are active truth tellers or spin doctors. Ultimately, 90% of the rest of the people have to choose who to believe. The New York Times today came out with a headline basically defending Hillary.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that, the no culpability headline. Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to put that myth to an end right now. We'd like to lay out the evidence for you. Colonel Wes Smith was there when the bodies came in. He was with the families in Andrews Air Force Base. Again, for those that are watching on Facebook, Periscope, or ACLJ.org, or on TV, there he is. He's also now in our studio. He's a senior military analyst for the ACLJ. Secretary Clinton's narrative was she never said anything to the families about the videos. You were there.
Yeah, and she did. She did. It was convenient cover for her and the administration, you know, on September 12th, 13th, and 14th, the day of this ceremony. And she did it in a very reassuring way. We're going to get to the bottom of this, and whoever made this video needs to be held responsible. And now she flat out denies that she told the families that.
All right, we're joined by Congressman Jim Jordan, who's done a fantastic job on this, has issued a supplemental report. Congressman, first, we just had our senior military analyst, Wes Smith, is a retired colonel in the United States Army. He was actually the chaplain in charge at Andrews when the president was there. Okay. With Secretary Clinton, with the bodies of the Americans, and he heard himself, and he just said to our audience, Hillary Clinton talking about getting to the bottom of this video and getting this narrative out there. They knew this was false. Give me the biggest takeaway, Congressman, that you have from this report that you worked on so diligently.
No military assets were launched, put in motion to get to Benghazi until after the attack was over, but what did launch before the attack was even complete, was even over, was the political spin. At 10:08 that night, Secretary Clinton, now remember, 10:08, this is about an hour and 10 minutes before the mortars actually hit the roof of the annex and take the life of Tyrone Woods and Glenn Doherty. So at 10:08, Tyrone Woods is on the roof of the annex fighting for his life and his fellow citizens. She's already got a statement out there where she says some have sought to justify this vicious behavior as a response to inflammatory material on the Internet, already attributing it to the video. We know that was misleading because an hour later, to her daughter in a private email, she says, terrorists killed two of our people. And probably most importantly, the next day to the Egyptian prime minister, She says, we know the film had nothing to do with it. It was a planned attack, not a protest. So this public-private contrast, publicly telling the American people that it's a video-caused protest led to a attack, and privately telling the truth, that continues for days and days and days. And the reason they did it was because it helped them politically.
Well,
to me, that's the biggest takeaway.
Well, we've been really focusing on that. As I said, Colonel Wes Smith is with us in the studio. And, Colonel, that is the exact – you were there and heard it. I mean, she said it.
Yes, she was being very reassuring as she related the impact of this video.
So the video was her narrative.
It was on September the 14th at Andrews Air Force Base.
So, Congressman, and a fantastic report. Obviously, we're still digesting it. We're focusing on the military deployment issue, but it looks like also that Secretary Panetta did order military assets moved, and they just didn't. It didn't happen. Do we know why?
Politics. No, I mean, he was very clear when we deposed the secretary. He said his order was to deploy. I mean, active go deploy. And he did that at around 6 p.m. Remember, the attack started 3:42. He does it around 6 p.m. and puts three assets in motion, but they never really actually go. They don't leave until after the attack. And the first one, only one of the three assets he put in motion ever gets to Libya. It doesn't go to Benghazi. It goes to Tripoli. The other two never actually get to Libya. So, yeah, but politics slowed down. Think about this. They have people changing out of uniforms into civilian clothes because they're concerned about the political implications in Benghazi. They're concerned about boots on the ground. And you have to go all the way back and put this all in context. Libya was supposed to be their crown jewel of how foreign policy works in a Clinton State Department and an Obama White House. They oust the dictator. They part of the Arab Spring. They do it with no boots on the ground. And everything's supposed to work wonderful with this. Now they're delaying our talking about uniforms, talking about going in civilian clothes because of political concern.
Yeah.
And that drove this entire narrative.
In your report, the supplemental report that you issued, you used the phrase, America did not move heaven and earth to rescue our people. Colonel Smith, following up on what Congressman Jordan just said, that is the operating mindset of the military, is to move heaven and earth.
Absolutely. If I had I been on the roof of the annex, I would expect my nation to come to my rescue, and those men were expecting the same thing.
So, Congressman, the next question here is, what happens next? This report is devastating. It's a false narrative. The statements that Susan Wright, that Ben Rhodes email, where she basically says, Ben Rhodes says to her, remember the narrative. The narrative's important here. It's about the video, not a failure of policy. But this was a broad failure of policy. Correct, Congressman?
It sure was, and they knew it even ahead of time. There is, when Gaddafi is ousted, over the next 13 months, there are 200 security incidents in Libya. There's an assassination attempt on the British ambassador, and one diplomatic security agent who we talked to testified and said this. He'd went and served in the summer of 2012 and then come back home. But after returning, he said that Benghazi was a, quote, suicide mission, and his quote was, everyone there is going to die. That's how bad the security posture was and how dangerous the place was. And they knew all that, and yet they stayed because it fit their political concerns to make sure they stayed. After all, Hillary Clinton was the individual who pushed to go into Libya and helped oust Gaddafi in the first place.
All right, let me ask you this last question, Congressman. I really appreciate your time. I know how busy this is. The takeaway to the American people, they understand the military's inability to deploy, not because of the military's not willingness to, but because of the political situation.
Right.
What do you expect the response to the American people to be right now?
Well, I think just the response you've had, and frankly, we know that our men and women in uniform are the bravest people on the planet. They're willing to run to the sound of the guns and do whatever it takes, but it was the leadership in Washington that held them back, and we make that point in our report. I think that's a takeaway, and when you're in a moment of crisis and an important moment as a country, and a country especially a great one, the greatest country ever like ours, we expect our leaders to communicate in a forthright and straightforward way, not to mislead. And unfortunately, in this situation, that wasn't the case. And I think that's a big takeaway and something in our great nation should not happen.
Congressman Jim Jordan, a good friend of ours, tremendous work on this. Thank you, Congressman, for making time for us.
Thank you, Jay. Take care.
All right, Logan, let's go ahead and take a phone call. I know we've got a lot of people holding. Again, our apologies to everybody, but we've had a lot to cover.
Jason's calling in Columbus, Ohio. Thanks for holding almost a half hour.
Hey, that's Jason, I'm going to send you a copy of our book, Rise of ISIS. Go ahead.
I'm a Facebook listener, but thanks for standing with us, Jay, on
Thank
this.
You.
I'm very upset because Obama isn't answering for nothing, and he was when it 2 weeks later, you know,
right.
He was on The View talking about the video. Then they go to ask him the question. He acts like he's better, that he don't have to answer the questions, you know, that now that this is out.
Well, here's what you've got. It's exactly what the congressman, exactly what Wes said, and I'm going to go to Fan on this. They had a narrative. They stick with it. They don't care what the facts are. The facts are irrelevant. They have a narrative, Fan. They don't move from it.
We've talked about this so many times on this broadcast, Jay. They pick a narrative and then they double down on it. And in this case, I love the way that Congressman Jordan did this. Before, during, and after the fact, they stuck to their narrative, no matter if Americans were dying. And in this case, Jay, it meant that two American heroes were left alone on a rooftop without reinforcements. We didn't even send anybody to try to help them, and there's only one reason for it. They chose their narrative over those two lives.
All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call here.
All right, Wayne's calling from Arizona. You're on the air.
Hi, Wayne.
Yeah. Hi. It is really totally and completely beyond me why Hillary is running for president. I cannot understand it.
She got the nomination through the process of the Democratic National Committee, as Donald Trump got it from the RNC. They're the presumptive nominees. I understand the frustrations. Everybody's got frustrations. But what we have to focus on is the reality of what we're dealing with. And what we're dealing with, and what the takeaway was from Congressman Jordan and from Colonel Smith, is that our military, and I want you to say it again, Wes, very quickly, we're running out of time in this segment, was not allowed to do its job.
Exactly. There's not a man or a woman in uniform that would not have responded, and as you said, run towards the gunfire, not away from it, had they been allowed to do so.
We are also filing today a lawsuit. We were going to talk about it today. I think, Will, you want us to do that tomorrow? We'll talk about it more tomorrow, but we've got a new lawsuit against the Department of State, filed by the American Center for Law and Justice on the false statements and the false narratives on the situation involving Iran. Folks, this is just the beginning. We're just undercovering it. Again, we're not just talking about it on this broadcast. We're taking action. All right, Logan, we're going to take more calls. We're going to do a round. We're going to get as many calls as we can. We're trying to get Congressman Mike Pompeo. It looks like that may be a bounce till tomorrow because of everything that's going on. Colonel Smith will stay with us. Than will stay with us, and we'll take calls and comments.
1-800-684-3110. You obviously can join us. The thousands of people that are joining us today on social media as this news breaks right here on the radio show. You know, a lot of people are commenting, why are the media not covering it? As we've been sitting here, media has started covering it. But anyway, as we started, it was pretty low.
Yep. I'll tell you why they're covering it, you're getting it, the response here. Folks, we have the experts in-house at the ACLJ. In this particular case, we have the expert that was there at Andrews with the president and the secretary of state. You're not getting that anyplace else. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
We've got a lot of people that are holding, and we're going to get to as many calls as we can in this segment. We're joined by our senior military analyst, Colonel Wes Smith, who knows this firsthand because he was there. Again, if you're just joining us, here's the picture. Colonel Smith, the president, the secretary of state, and the remains of the Americans. There it is at Andrews Air Force Base. And Colonel, again, with your own, we'll get to the narrative tomorrow on the broadcast a little bit more in depth. We've been talking about the military not being able to respond because not because they didn't want to, because they weren't allowed to.
Right.
But you heard from your own ears the video narrative.
Yes, of course. And it was done in a very reassuring way that we're going to get to the bottom of this and hold this person responsible. And that was repeated at Andrews and obviously repeated days after that as well.
Total fabrication. And Than, quickly, then we're going to get to the calls. I keep saying this. But Than, there has to be consequences for this. And look, we filed a lawsuit today, folks, against the State Department on the Iran deal. I'm going to look at whatever legal angles are here. But it's not just legal. There are political angles. There's more congressional oversight. You don't let people get away with this.
Well, the biggest political angle is whether or not Hillary Clinton can be the next commander-in-chief in charge of even more responsibility than she
Good
had as secretary.
There.
But, Jay, to Wes's point, both up and down the chain of command, when Susan Rice went on those talk shows, they were shocked that this was the narrative they had picked. The reason they were shocked is because that command to Susan Rice came from somewhere up the chain of command. There aren't too many places up the chain of command from Susan Rice.
Ben Rhodes, and he didn't make it up himself, from the President of the United States. We're going to talk about that on tomorrow's broadcast. Let's go to get these calls really quick.
All right, so many calls. We'll do our best. Let's go through Jeffrey, who's calling from Colorado City, Texas. You're on the air.
Hi, Jeff.
Yes, sir. This is me. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a Vietnam vet.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir. The thing that I guess just befuddles me, for lack of a better word, is the fact that Hillary
gets away with it.
Has not been.
She gets away with it, and now she's the Democratic nominee for President of the United States, and as Than just said, and will be Commander in Chief. Well, elections have consequences, so there you have it. Elections have consequences, and this is just the way it works. Republican, Democrat, Independent, you know what you're voting for on all these, because this is no secret now. It's all out in the open. All right, let's take another call.
All right, let's go to Jim calling from Birmingham, Alabama. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, Jay, appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
I want to make a quick statement about when I was in the Marine Corps in 1991, January, the U.S. Embassy in Mogadishu was being overtaken. Two ships, one that while I was on, U.S. Trenton and USS Guam, steamed out of the Persian Gulf, got all the way to Mogadishu in 3 days, rescued 280 souls, ambassadors from other countries. And your guest had stated a minute ago, if they would have just flown an aircraft, because when we went in with two CH-53s, these people scattered like rats.
Yep.
And we got our people out of there and other countries' people without incident. And 20-something years later, it can't be done.
No, Jim, listen, first, thank you for your service, but Colonel Smith, West, this is exactly what you said. Exactly. And he was talking about the fly. I lived less than a mile from Oceana Naval Air Station. Mm-hmm. So those jets, the F-18s, the F-16s, would fly over our house at about 500 feet. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, unless you're used to it, it's a shocking move when it happens.
Absolutely it is. And in our war games, like at the National Training Center over in California, when those planes pretend like they're attacking you, it definitely gets your attention.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? All right, let's go. We get as many calls as we can here, Logan.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Irene, who's calling from New York.
Hi, Irene.
Guys, the headlines, CNN, MSNBC, Hillary Clinton, no wrongdoing in Benghazi. Once again, the Republicans gave her a pass. And she's going to be our next president.
Well, she didn't get it. I don't think Trey Gowdy, Jim Jordan, or Mike Pompeo gave her a pass. You haven't read the report yet, and we're going to have an analysis of it up, Irene, this afternoon.
It's just whether the media will spin it to be a pass. I think that's what you're kind of saying. I mean, look, to be honest with you, we've been monitoring the news, and it's been about 10 minutes of the last hour we've done has been on this. I mean, come on. It's kind of bigger news than what they're talking about right now.
But the networks are talking about biased decisions in law enforcement. is taking the news. But no, listen, Irene, I appreciate you calling, but we're giving you, and this is just day one. We're going to get more into this. We're going to get into the whole false narrative tomorrow and our lawsuit against the State Department. Go ahead.
All right, let's go to Frank in Vermont on line one.
Hey, Frank.
Hello, how are you doing? Thank you for all you're doing. Look, my thing is on the news report, Rush himself has been saying on the Newswire that all they're reporting is there's nothing new with this the results of this Benghazi investigation, yeah. And there's no new stuff against
no new developments. Yeah, totally false. Because what is clear here, which we did not have before, is the military's inability, not because they didn't want to, but their inability to respond, Wes, because someone, it had to be the commander-in-chief, said don't do it.
Yes.
They changed uniforms three times. You think that information was out before? That we were having our troops decide what uniform to wear, what cars to drive?
Yeah. As if it mattered.
Yeah, as if it mattered.
And yes, the Secretary of Defense in the chain of command, there is literally only one person that can countermand his order, and that's the commander-in-chief.
Yeah, so this is a lot of new news. So, Logan, what's going on here media-wise? Spin?
I don't know. I guess it is. I guess it's, just they haven't had time to break it down. You know, you don't want to say anything against the media. They're great. But this is not exactly the easiest thing to maybe ingest and understand and have the appropriate people on right now.
And we've got six lawyers working on it.
And you have a lot of people on your staff who understand this situation a little bit differently than what would be on a traditional news broadcast in the middle of the day.
Let me thank our entire production staff, by the way, for the work today, because you can imagine this came out this morning. We had to put this program together literally in about an hour. So the video guys, the radio guys, the radio teams, our lawyers did a great job here. Thank you for this quick analysis. Obviously, our senior military analyst. And we'll have more of this in the days ahead. Let's try to get these last two calls.
All right, Connie in Williamsburg, Virginia. You're on the air. Quickly.
Yep.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Whatever happened to the man that was arrested for this video? They used him as a scapegoat, but whatever happened?
As far as we know, never actually arrested. Kind of just hidden under the rug.
And went away.
Yeah, not indicted. No charges, nothing. Connie, because it was a false statement. Thanks for calling in.
Yep. Let's go now to Flo from Staten Island, New York.
Get a lot of New Yorkers calling. Hey, Staten Island. Hi, Flo.
Hi. Very quickly.
Yep.
Okay, everyone wants to give her a pass. Wonderful. How do intelligent people in this day and age still support this woman? And most importantly, what can we do, each of us, to stop this woman from becoming president? I'm sick about it.
Well, look, here's the thing. We live in a constitutional republic, so people get to vote. So if you like Hillary Clinton, you vote for Hillary Clinton. If you like Donald Trump, you vote for Donald Trump. If you like the independent candidate, Gary Johnson, you vote. So how you stop in a constitutional republic is you exercise your ballot box. That's that's what Wes was fighting for. And that's what these men that died were fighting for. Our ability to live in a country or a constitutional republic. But I think this has consequences. How it plays out. The question will be, Than, really quick. This is brand new news. We've just covered the military aspect of it. We haven't even gotten into the false narrative issue.
The report's 800 pages long here, Jay. The good news is the voters still have the power, and I would make this case. If you want to be an educated voter, these are 800 pages of must-read material. You have a responsibility to choose the next commander-in-chief. This is information you better have before you go into that ballot
box. Let me tell you something else. You know what we do here at the ACLJ? We have this great radio broadcast, seen on TV, you're seeing us on the web, you're seeing us on Facebook and Periscope. You know what else we do? See this? United States District Court for the District of Columbia. Case? American Center for Law and Justice versus the United States Department of State. Why? The false narrative on Iran. We don't just talk about it. We take direct action. It's a good reason for you to be a member of the ACLJ. We encourage you to do that at aclj.org in a lot of ways with only 10 seconds left here, folks, to get this broadcast. We're going to have it archived. We'll have it up, obviously.
Yep. Archive, Jay Sekulow Live podcast, the ACLJ app on Apple devices, and however you get media, you can find us there.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.